spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light. Cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Satan and the Rabbi of Chelm, was written by Joseph Mindell. Particularly well, Satan sat in his armchair, casually turning the pages of the Ledger of Living Souls. He smiled contentedly as his eyes lingered on the lists of sins and iniquities. But suddenly he stopped, and then he frowned, and all the imps and demons shivered and waited for Satan to speak.
What's the meaning of this? Well, answer me.
Is something wrong, Satan?
Is something wrong? Just look at this, Belial.
I see it. It's only a blank page.
Exactly, a blank page. I tell you, I won't tolerate such carelessness. I want to know who is responsible.
As a matter of fact, I handle all entries in the ledger myself.
Do you, Belial?
No, please don't get excited. Let me have a look. Oh, yes. It's the page belonging to the Rabbi of Chelm.
I don't care whose page it is. It's an unpardonable error.
No, Satan. The register is correct, just as it stands.
Nonsense. What do you mean, Belial?
There's nothing to record on the page of the Rabbi of Chelm. No sins, no iniquities, no transgressions.
It's a more serious matter than I thought.
It's just one of those things that happens every two or three centuries. Not at all serious.
You're wrong. Belial, if even one man may live his life without sin, who knows where it may end?
Satan closed his eyes and thought, and all the demons held their breath. Then he looked up and dictated a message to the heavenly tribunal.
Whereas the Rabbi of Chelm, though standing with one foot in the grave, still has a clean sheet, and whereas it is written, There is no man that sinneth not, therefore let the Rabbi of Chelm be delivered into my power for testing.
Now, what went on in heaven, I cannot tell you of my own knowledge. But surely a man like the Rabbi of Chelm could not be unknown. And you may imagine the indignation among the angels. At the very instant when Satan's request was about to be denied, almost as if he had been listening behind the gate, he sent another message.
What is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him?
Now in heaven, anger was added to indignation. But after all, if not in heaven, then where does justice prevail? And there was an ancient precedent. So the answer went out to Satan. Regarding the Rabbi of Chelm, see Job chapter 1.
Chapter 1, the 12th verse. Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. Belial, we have work to do.
Now, the devil is not a fool. He knew this was not a simple matter. How, for example, could the rabbi be attacked? Like Job, through his possessions, or a violent case of running sores, with promises or with threats? Well, There was only one way to find out.
Belial, you will go.
How now?
Talk to the people of Helm about their rabbi. And Belial...
The climate, especially this time of year...
It would do no harm to have a few words with the rabbi himself.
Where did you say you came from, stranger?
It's quite far from Helm.
Even so, you've heard of our rabbi?
Of course. Who hasn't heard of the rabbi of Helm? The most virtuous, the most pious.
That's him, all right.
Though I've heard it said that anyone could be pious who had his worldly goods, his fine house and flocks.
You're still talking about the rabbi?
Who else?
You really are a stranger. The rabbi has one shirt. And when that's being washed, he sits in his room until it's dry.
Highly commendable. Mm. Of course, if we were to strike him... that is, if he were to be stricken with boils...
Now, that's a coincidence.
What is?
Only the other day, he said to me, Daniel, he said, sometimes I almost wish for bodily pain. Oh, no, I said, that comes soon enough. And then he said, but it's so much easier to bear than the pain of seeing evil in the world. He's a saint. A real saint.
About this rabbi of yours.
Of mine?
You're from Helm, aren't you?
I? Yes, of course.
Well, then, this rabbi of Helm, they say that he's a saint.
Do they?
You sound as if you don't believe it.
After all, he is a man.
Naturally.
And therefore, there are two sides to the question. On the one hand, being a man, he yearns for goodness.
Yes.
But by the same token, he is subject to sin.
You really think he said that too?
I know it to be a fact.
That's the most hopeful thing I've heard.
Hopeful? I've never thought of it that way before.
Allow me to thank you, Reb. Tell me, what do you call?
I'm the rabbi of Helm.
A fine spectacle you made of yourself, Belial.
How was I to know, Satan? I don't know what becomes of my wits when I take human form.
Never mind. Tell me more about the rabbi of Helm. He's very poor, you say.
Poor? He looks as if he's always hungry. And that shirt, it won't last much longer.
Good. You'll be in charge here while I'm gone.
Satan, let me go.
What? In that climate at this time of year?
I have a personal interest now. And besides, I have a plan. Listen.
Huh?
Hmm? I will go to go and discuss. You see?
Uh-huh.
And then, I will tempt him. You see? You understand?
It may work.
Uh-huh. Of course it'll work. As he himself said, he's only a man.
On a chilly, drizzly day, when the streets oozed mud and the sky dripped gloom, a beggar came to Helm. Certainly, Helm had no need for out-of-town beggars, but here he was, all skin and bone, limping painfully from house to house.
Well, what do you want?
I've taken you from your meal.
Yes, if you want to call it that.
I'm hungry.
You're in Helm. You don't have to say you're hungry. It's understood.
I've had nothing to eat since yesterday.
Now, I can't feed every strange beggar who comes to my... Here. Here's half my dinner.
I thank you.
Now, don't just look at it. Eat it. Even if it's only a piece of stale bread. What did you expect, roast goose?
Poor devil managed to drag himself along, receiving at every 10th house a crust of bread, and at every 20th a penny worn so smooth that all but slipped through his fingers. Late in the afternoon, he stood in the market square, drenched, cold to his very bones, stood for a long minute, and then collapsed in a heap.
Oh, the poor man. He's fainted.
Bring water, somebody.
Well, pick him up. We can't let him lie here in the street.
No. Where will we take him?
Well, we'll take him.
You see?
Take him to my house.
Rabbi, you don't have to. I mean...
I know what you mean. Take him to my house.
In the evening, the rabbi sat over his books, glancing now and then at the beggar lying in his bed.
You're awake. I'll bring you something to eat.
No, don't. Don't waste food on me.
It isn't elegant, but it will make you stronger.
Come closer, Rabbi. I want to tell you something. Rabbi, I've been a sinner. I don't want to die with my sins weighing on me.
Wait. I'll call some others of the congregation and with me.
No, just you.
All right, if that's what you want.
All my life, I've been a beggar. I begged for bread for my wife and children.
You don't have to be ashamed for that.
I had neither wife nor child, Rabbi. It was a sin.
Yes, my son, it was a sin.
I collected money for poor scholars and never sent them a penny. I begged for dowries for orphan girls, but I kept the money. Do you hear, Rabbi? I kept it for myself.
I'm listening.
Why don't you throw me out of your house?
You've done evil things, but I am not your judge.
You're a good man, and a poor man.
There are many poor people in hell.
Rabbi, around my neck, there's a linen bag. Open it.
Oh, I have never seen so much money.
Yes, it's the money I have accumulated. Take it, Rabbi. Use it in any way you wish. You will take it, won't you?
Yes. Yes, I'll take it.
Where are you going, Rabbi? People of Helm! Come in and count the charity money!
Belial, I ought to send you back to the lowest rank of demons.
It was a good plan.
Except it didn't work.
What do you want, Lilith? No, don't tell me. I'm busy now.
Satan, the Rabbi Helm isn't getting any younger. And his page is still blank.
Please, Lilith, come back tomorrow. This is not a matter for females.
Don't let an old prejudice stand in your way. Let me try my hand on the Rabbi of Helm.
You?
Why not?
I suppose you have a plan, my dear. No doubt a very ingenious plan.
It happens that I have. Nothing really original. Just the old method.
One day, the Rabbi of Helm was seated at his table, studying a particularly knotty problem in the Talmud. Now, when the rabbi was immersed in his sacred books, he was oblivious to the world. So it was that he didn't even hear the door open or shut. Nor did he notice the woman who came in carrying an iron pot in her hand. Not even the bang when she put the pot down on the table disturbed him. But in a few minutes, his nose began to wrinkle.
What do I smell?
Maybe it's me, Rabbi.
And why should you smell like flowers?
Well, I put roses in the water when I washed myself. Oh, you're too far away to really notice.
Stay where you are. Why did you come here, my daughter?
I came to see you.
Yes, I know, but about what?
About this chicken in the pot. I'm not sure it's kosher.
Can you wait, my daughter? It's time for afternoon prayer.
I have plenty of time, Rabbi.
The rabbi stood for the 18 benedictions, and the woman sat down to wait. Having nothing else to do, she hummed a pretty tune. Of course, it goes without saying that the rabbi heard none of it. For a little while, she sat straight on the chair. Then she began to rock. Like everything else in the rabbi's house, the chair was old and dry.
How noisy. I must be quiet, mustn't I? It's warm in the room, Rabbi. You don't mind if I slip off my shawl? That's better. There's nothing as comfortable as bare arms.
Now, tell me, what's the problem about the chicken? Put your shawl back on.
Oh, don't get up, Rabbi. I'll bring the chicken to your table. Oh, how it happened, I don't know. But a drop of milk. Bang.
One moment, my daughter. I'll move my chair so you'll have more room.
Oh, I'm not a bit crowded.
No, but I am. Go on.
But it was the tiniest drop of milk, and I'm not really sure it touched the chicken. Now you can really smell my perfume, Rabbi.
Excuse me, I feel the need for a pinch of snuff. Now, my daughter.
My name is Susanna.
First, the chicken.
It isn't important.
The chicken, in my opinion, is kosher. And as for you, young woman.
Yes, Rabbi.
You'd better see the matchmaker about a husband.
Such a thing never happened to me before, sir.
I won't waste time being angry. You should have known better than to have sent would-be devils.
Well, maybe Belial was right. Why did you just forget the whole thing?
Save your advice. Tell me about the rabbi. Every weakness, even the slightest.
He has none.
He must have. Tell me everything that happened. Everything.
You don't understand. When I took off my shawl, he looked away. When I touched his hand, he removed it. When he smelled my perfume, he took snuff. Don't you
Stop
see...
a minute. What did he say?
He said the chicken was kosher.
When he took the snuff, what did he say?
Oh, I don't remember. Yes, I do. He said, I feel the need for a pinch of snuff.
Ah, then I've got him. Belial, get your pen ready. There will be an entry soon for the rabbi's stage.
Just before I disappeared, the rabbi smiled, a funny little smile.
Uh-huh.
Satan, be careful.
That's a strange thing to say to me.
I know. But all the same, be careful.
It's almost dark, Rabbi. Where are you going?
Only for a little walk, Daniel.
If you go too far, you'll miss the Sabbath. Heaven forbid.
Don't worry, Daniel. I do it every week before the Sabbath.
Excuse me for saying it, Rabbi, but sometimes you're a little absent-minded.
I'll tell you something. I have a scheme.
A scheme?
To help me remember. As I walk, I recite the Song of Songs. When I'm exactly halfway through, I'm at a certain tree in the field. And then...
I know. You sit down...
For a pinch of snuff. That's right. And on the way back, I recite the other half of the Song of Songs. And I'm at the synagogue in time for the services. You see? You don't have to worry. Although the winter has passed, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, and the time of singing is come. The voice of the church.
So the rabbi walked along, his eyes turned inward, listening to the words his lips said. But even if his eyes were seeing, they would not have detected the devil. For Satan, not deigning to take on a human form, simply made himself invisible. And invisibly, he tore up the tree that was the rabbi's landmark and moved it further away. When the rabbi had finished reciting half of the Song of Songs, he looked up in surprise.
Strange. My tree is still some distance off. How can that be? It must be that I was not pondering the meaning of the words, and therefore I said them too fast.
The rabbi walked on toward his tree, shaking his head at the ease with which a man misleads himself.
Abbot, maybe I should stop for a pinch of snuff, huh? No. No. Not until I reach the tree. Yet a tiny little pinch of snuff. Huh? What harm is there? Maybe I'll... No! Shall I reward myself for racing through the Song of Songs?
Finally, there he was. He sat down under the familiar tree. With trembling hands, he pulled the little round snuff box out of his pocket tapped it gently, when suddenly there was a puff of air behind him, like someone blowing, and the snuff box fell out of his hand. He reached out his arm to pick it up when another puff of air rolled it away from him.
What? I hadn't noticed there was a breeze. Where's that snuff box? Oh, there it is. What? A breeze, practically a storm. How it rolls, the snuff box.
And now Satan quickly snatched up the tree and returned it to its place, at the same time blowing the snuff box just out of the rabbi's reach.
What a strange wind. I can't hear it in the trees. My tree! It's way back there! I must have been going after the wrong tree.
It was then that the rabbi looked up and saw with consternation that the sun had set and the first stars were in the sky. The Sabbath had come.
Now I shall have to remain here.
He couldn't go back, for on the sacred day of rest one may not walk further than a prescribed short distance from the city limits, and he was now too far away. No, he wouldn't think of walking back and desecrating the Sabbath. The ravens that had fed Elijah the prophet would feed him, too.
Still, a pinch of snuff would be a great comfort. How the snuff box rolls! I almost had it. If only the wind would stop.
Rabbi, see where you are.
Who is talking?
That doesn't matter. See how far you've gone.
And the rabbi realized that he had committed the very transgression he had wished to avoid. In pursuit of his snuff box, he had gone farther than is permissible on the Sabbath. The rabbi of Chelm bowed his head, and Satan laughed. I do not have to tell you with what ceremony the transgression of the Rabbi of Chelm was inscribed on his page in the Ledger of Living Souls. You can picture for yourself the cheers, the congratulations, the speeches. Satan himself spoke last.
As you go about your work, my imps and demons, remember this. Always look for the small, the unimportant, the trifling weakness. For as you have seen, a man does not stumble over a mountain.
And there it should have ended, but it didn't. For Satan returned to the place where the Rabbi of Chelm was still sitting.
Why are you sitting here?
What should I do?
It's your Sabbath. I would have expected you to be in your synagogue.
You know I can't walk there now.
But you've already committed the violation.
Don't you understand? No, I suppose you don't.
It's cold. You'll get hungry.
I'm hungry already.
You're a fool.
Maybe. But you don't have to stay. Well, since you're not going, let me ask you something. What do you think you've proved by all this?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? I've made it clear that no man, not even you, Rabbi, is secure from sin.
Then you've gone to unnecessary trouble. That's what it means when you say I'm a man.
I prefer it in a ledger in black and white.
Of course, since you're Satan and not a man.
Rabbi, there's nothing special about being a man.
But there is. Because man is neither angel nor devil, and therefore only man can choose between good and evil.
You exalt yourself, Rabbi.
No, not myself. You have forgotten the words written long ago. And God created man in his own image.
Yes, I know the words.
But I know their meaning. Like a light in darkness. And therefore I can look at the world and see your work and yet say, the Lord is greater than thou.
Satan returned to the place over which he rules, while the Rabbi of Chelm sat alone in the dark and welcomed the Sabbath in peace. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Louis J. Glickman, Vice Chairman of the World Brotherhood Committee of the Jewish Theological Seminary. Mr. Glickman.
The story we have just heard, presented in the guise of an amusing folktale, teaches a significant lesson for our time. It illustrated the wisdom of the theory that men do not stumble over a mountain. It is the small weakness, the trifling neglect, the slight rudeness of which we are all guilty. Though it might seem morally easy to dismiss these failures, it is important to recognize that their correction constitutes an important path of service. There is a legend in Jewish tradition that when God wished to test Moses to determine whether he was capable of becoming a great leader, he did not set before Moses an insuperable task. He tested his compassion for a lamb in the flock, a seemingly trivial matter. It is not given to most men to be world leaders or to make contributions to our society in a memorable way. It is given to all men, however, to contribute their share toward the betterment of the world. For it is the sum total of all our deeds, of omission and of commission, that comprise our contribution. It is in our relations with our fellow men, in our daily lives, that we may strive to set an example. It is indeed true that since men see the mountains ahead of them, they do not stumble over them. Instead, we must scan our road for the familiar foothills of human limitation. In a world which is seeking to create brotherhood and eradicate prejudice, it is important to remember that each of us has it within his power to diminish suspicion, hypocrisy, selfishness in human relations. The prize of peace cannot be bestowed upon us. It must be won by each man for himself and for his brother. We cannot dismiss our actions and our words with the pretense that they do not matter. Our moral conduct will shape the world as significantly as any statesman or any document. In our world, which is in some sense a product of mass production, technological impersonality and large-scale movements, the role of the individual cannot be overstated. It is incumbent upon us to take the moral responsibility for the world in which we live. By each small act and word, we must build this world as a place in which all men will live in amity and brotherhood.
Thank you, Mr. Glickman. Our eternal light drama today, Satan and the Rabbi of Chelm, was written by Joseph Mendel. It is based on a story called A Pinch of Snuff by I.L. Peretz and translated by Isidore Goldstick, which originally appeared in the Zionist Quarterly. Raymond Edward Johnson was heard as Satan, Peter Capel as the Rabbi, Anne Seymour as Lilith, Ralph Bell as Belial, and Joseph DeSantis as Daniel. Robert Carroll was the narrator. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Catons. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.